Dr. Nate Smith, the Department of Health, and Dr. Jennifer Dillahaye as well, and they'll be making comments shortly. Thank you for the daily update today on our COVID-19 response efforts in the state. Yesterday, we reported that there are 174 positive cases. As you know, this morning on the daily update, that rose to 202. This afternoon, the number is 218. Sadly, we have our first death from COVID-19, and since that came about earlier today, we've had another death, so now we have two deaths from COVID-19. Dr. Smith will make some additional comments in that regard. Today, I've had meetings with hospitals. I've had meetings with counties lately, legislators, but in dealing with and talking to my public health team, they used this language and said that what we're seeing is the calm before the storm. Now, I know that many people don't see this as a calm, but I think the way that is, that we're still on the lower end of the slope as it goes up. And so this needs to be understood by everybody in Arkansas that we're still on the front end of this COVID-19 emergency that we have in the state of Arkansas. As we go to the discussion of personal protective equipment, and these are the masks, the gowns, the gloves, things that our healthcare providers and others need, this morning we received 24 pallets of PPE from the strategic stockpile. And so we have had our second allocation from the strategic stockpile nationally that came in at 2 a.m. this morning. And, for example, this includes 27,800 N95 masks. So this is good news for us. Yesterday, I mentioned that we placed an order from the state of Arkansas through our UAMS procurement team, and this was 1 million units. 1 million units are scheduled to begin arriving this weekend. And so combined with what we're receiving from the strategic stockpile, with what we are receiving from our order later this week for the state of Arkansas, this will cover us for the next 60 days at our current usage rate. And so obviously you can see if the positive cases, the hospitalizations increase, then the consumption and the usage rate will rise, and that will last for a shorter period. What we're doing is preparing, and I'm grateful that while it has moved quicker in other states, here in Arkansas, we do have time to plan. And so we're not going to be in the position of some others that we don't have sufficient hospital beds. We're looking at ways to bring others online in the event we get to that point. We're looking at the issues of ventilators and respirators, and we have time to build the stockpile on those different items of equipment that will be needed in the future. In terms of the budget and the special session, I would like to have the General Assembly begin their session this Thursday. This is important to make sure that we can continue to meet the essential needs of emergency health crisis that we have. And so that is why this is urgent action. It is important to get everybody together in a quick fashion to be able to make the budget adjustments that are needed. The proclamation and the legislation is being prepared as we speak. I do not intend to issue the proclamation until we have a consensus from the legislature on exactly the legislation and the support for that. We do not need to get together with contentious debate. We need to be together, and I believe that we will be together in a bipartisan way in support of what is needed in this special session so we can do it, we can go home, we can minimize any public health risk, but most importantly, to solve the challenge that we face budget-wise as we look to the future of this emergency. In terms of the public, I get asked the question, well, why don't you shut down all businesses? Or why don't you issue a shelter-in-place order? And I have talked to other governors. I've looked at some of the orders, and whenever you look at essential businesses continuing, whenever you look at many of these are advisory, I believe we're approaching it in the right way, which is being very specific under Dr. Smith's leadership of giving a directive as to who should be open, who should not be, concentrating on that face-to-face or person-to-person mission. But you have to ask the question, if you go further and close more, when do you open them up, when you know that we're going to be in this situation for 8 to 12 weeks, even before it starts peaking? And so with that, we need to make sure that we make the right decisions now. And as long as the public does what they need and our businesses follows the guidelines that we've offered, then we're going to put the protective measures in place through screening, through personal distancing, through not gathering more than 10 people. And so as people go about their necessary and essential parts of life, be mindful of these admonitions. As we don't have to be out and we can stay at home, that's obviously the best thing that we can do as a society. I do want to applaud some of our businesses and highlight some of the best practices that I see. And I received a letter from Black Hills Energy, and maybe I got that because I'm a customer of theirs, but they indicated that to support customers that may be impacted by COVID-19, Black Hills Energy is temporarily suspending non-payment disconnections for our customers. We are also reminding customers that face financial hardships that there are various assistance options and programs available to help them. This is just an example of one of the things that's happening in the state of Arkansas. Saw from employers, from so many others that are trying to be neighborly, trying crisis. With that, Dr. Smith, I invite you to make comments.
Thank you, Governor. I want to, again, thank the Governor for his leadership during this very difficult situation. In terms of our numbers, as the Governor's noted, we're at 218, which is up 44 from our last press conference. For the first time, we have actually more positive results coming in from commercial labs than from our Department of Health lab. And also the UAMS laboratory has started doing tests, and we've already gotten a positive result from them that was reported to us. Of these 218, we have 11 who are children. We have 73 who are adults, 65 and older. And we have 134 who are aged 19 to 64. The gender and the race breakdown is pretty similar to what it's been the last few days. We currently have 14 who are hospitalized and 6 who are on ventilators. We have 10 who have recovered. And as the governor mentioned, we unfortunately have our first two deaths from COVID-19 in Arkansas. Both of these are in central Arkansas. One individual is in the 50s, and the other is greater than age 80, and neither of them were nursing home residents. We also have three new counties, Pike County, Hempstead County, and Cross County. A few things that I wanted to mention that I think are important. Funerals. It is very important that we remember our loved ones and that we honor their lives, but funerals can also be a time when COVID-19 can pass easily amongst family members, and especially if there are older or vulnerable individuals at the funeral. I think we need to think about ways that we can honor the lives of our loved ones in a way that doesn't increase the spread of COVID-19. I think that perhaps smaller side as the weather gets better, and then maybe putting off a larger memorial service to later on might be one strategy, but there are others that people can think of. But I think we need to be mindful And remember that it's not just our family members, but also our funeral home directors who were potentially exposed. And I want to thank them for that they will continue to serve the families, whatever they choose to do. But this is an issue that I want to bring to your attention. Another one, increasing evidence that smoking is a significant risk factor for serious illness and even death from COVID-19. For those who smoke, this is a good time to strongly consider quitting. We have many resources through our Be Well Arkansas website and line, call-in line, and I would refer you there. But that's an emerging evidence. I want to talk a little bit about employers. There, I think, has been a bit of a miscommunication. I've heard reports that some employers are saying that their employees have to be tested for COVID-19 before they'll let them on site. Our guidance was that they would screen on a daily basis their visitors' employees for symptoms and perhaps even check temperatures, but it would not be appropriate for a worker who has no symptoms to get screened for COVID-19 before coming to work. Another thing that I've been hearing is, we need to know where all the contacts are and all the cases are so we know whether it's safe in our community or not. With COVID-19 being reported from many parts of our state, I think we need to consider that any public space is potentially a place where people could become infected, and we have to practice social distancing and be very careful not to make unnecessary trips out of our homes and in crowded places. And finally, I mentioned chloroquine yesterday and some caution about side effects. I want to particularly highlight danger to children. Even a single adult chloroquine tablet is enough to cause a fatal overdose in a small child, age 2, 3, 4, or younger. So we need to be very mindful about how we use these medications. And what I'd like to do next is to turn it over to Dr. Jennifer Dillahay, who is our medical director for outbreak response and immunizations, for a few additional comments.
Thank you, Governor and Dr. Smith. I would like to take this opportunity to take social distancing very seriously, particularly our young adults. It is hard for many young people to stay away from their friends because our friends are very important to us. But if they are truly important, it's going to be important for us to use social distancing to protect ourselves as well as our friends and our families. Because if we take good care of ourselves through social distancing, such as maintaining a distance from avoiding public places where we're interacting with a number of people, as well as avoiding unnecessary trips to the store or other areas where we need to interact with businesses, then if we're taking good care of ourselves, then in turn we'll be helping to take care of our families by not bringing perhaps this virus home to our families or sharing it with the people that we interact with, our friends and those we love. There are other people who are taking this seriously, and this can be a hardship. I'm particularly interested in making sure that we in Arkansas are helpful to our neighbors and friends and families who are older, who are not able to get out as much, as well as those who have limitations in their transportation or other ability to take care of their needs in terms of shopping or errands, those things that we as a community need to be mindful and encourage each other to stay in touch, not be too isolated, and carry on with making sure that our social distancing practices are consistent with what is really going to help us slow the spread of COVID-19 and flatten the curve. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Delahaye. And with that, we're glad to take any questions.
Yes, sir. The President said within the last couple of hours that he hopes the economy, quote, up, raring to go, or something to that effect, by Easter. You or any of your team think, your response to that, your thoughts on
that? He hopes what will happen by Easter? What did he say would happen by Easter?
He wanted the economy back up and roaring to go, indicating, sir, that from my first reading, that he wants business as usual by Easter.
I didn't hear the President's comments, but as has been referenced before, the President gives hope, and he's speaking in a hopeful way, it sounds like. And I think we'd all love to see life back to normal by Easter. Do I think that's going to happen? As I've indicated before, we're still on the lower end of this upswing, and I think we're going to see more cases. We're going to see more disruption in the near future. Now, I'd like to hope that we're going to keep our economy moving even with this challenge. And I know it's hurt small businesses particularly, some of our entrepreneurs in the state that owns restaurants and barbershops and beauty salons. My heart aches for them. But we are going to do the best we can to have the personal distancing, to follow these guidelines to get over it. But I think this is going to be here for some time.
Other voices that perhaps the economy could be reopened on a, quote, surgical basis. Any thoughts on that?
Well,
on a more limited basis.
And that's why I think it's not helpful to say we're going to have a shelter in place or we're going to shut businesses down now. Because as soon as you do that, you're going to be restarting them. Because people... we have to produce, we have to have the supply chain, we have to have items in the grocery store, and we have to have our electricity run and our utilities and gas, and we have to have, on it goes down the list. And so if you look at, and we've studied these, some of the orders from other states, they're very broad, sometimes they're guidance, sometimes they have so many exemptions that drives the rule. And so you can see they're already thinking about, well, if we're going to be in this for some time, what do we need to do? So that's where we're trying to get the right balance. And I applaud Dr. Smith that recognizes let's go as far as we can in terms of our personal lives and responsibility and distancing and the health guidelines consistent with whenever we can engage in business and manufacturing that has the safety cautions in place, then we're going the right direction. We're doing the right thing here. We have to watch that curve, though. And as we estimated it a couple days ago, if we don't do what we need to do now, then it will be extended and it will be higher and deeper than what we need or want, and it will make it more difficult for us.
Personal protective equipment, are you still looking for additional equipment, or do you think we'll have enough to last?
Or we'll continue. The usage rate could accelerate, and there's obviously some people who we're putting a priority on now in terms of our healthcare workers, but others are desirous of it, and as much of a good safety cushion that we can have for our protective equipment. And again, 60 days is, we could be still in the middle of this or involved with it in 60 days, so we want to continue to buy that.
Could you ask how calling 135 legislators to the Capitol could be a practice of social distancing?
They've worked very hard, and they're going to brief Secretary Smith and others in terms of what their plans are to make sure it's consistent with good health requirements. It happens to be a constitutional requirement, but I've spoken with the Speaker and the Senate Pro Tem, and so they're taking some extra precautions so that they can have the social distancing that is needed to have the screening
both to set a good example for the state that they're taking this seriously, but they still have an obligation to come together and to get the job done.
Do you know if the two deaths had any underlying health conditions?
At least one of them did, and the other, really the main risk factor, was age. But remember, COVID-19 has the ability to strike down people of all ages, so we all have to be careful.
And you mentioned smoking. Was either of them a smoker?
It wouldn't be appropriate to specify that, but we do have quite a few individuals in our state who still smoke, and this is a great time for people to become the healthiest version of themselves, because that gives people the best chance if they do well and to survive.
Can you get on the sourcing with the two deaths?
I don't want to get into details since we have so few, but neither of them was known to be travel related.
Doctor, are you aware of in Arkansas any cases of the inappropriate use of the pharmaceuticals that Mr. Hutchinson just mentioned?
Well, you hear stories here and there. I think that any prescription medication should be administered under who's familiar with that medication and its side effects and its drug-drug interactions, and a clinician who has looked at the literature and understands what the risks and the benefits are. I think that's inappropriate for people to be taking this as a prophylactic, thinking it's somehow going to protect them. There's no data, no evidence to suggest that.
And also, sir, are you aware of any shortages of pharmaceuticals because of either hoarding or individuals on their own trying to acquire these drugs as a treatment or a prophylactic?
I'm not aware of that in Arkansas, but I can't say that there aren't pharmacies that may be out of it.
Yesterday, Dr. Mehta mentioned that there was a lack of reagents that was slowing down the testing process. What can you tell us about that?
I would have to let them give an update, but in any of these lab tests, regardless of what platform, there are some consumables that have to be used to actually perform the test, and we have all sorts of supply chain issues around testing, as you know well. I think that's what AMS, as well as our lab, trying to have more than one platform, so that if we run out of reagents for one test, we have another testing platform that we can use to keep going.
Any of those units that you mentioned, the million units, is that protective gear or is that test? Or what's involved
it's
in that?
Protective gear.
That's protective gear.
All kinds spread across or all masks? Or
It's spread across. And so our procurement team has looked at the patient care, what is needed, and that's what they have procured. And it goes from masks to gowns to to gloves, and so all of that's included in that. It's not part of that. I mean, the $30 million that we advance can be used for a ventilator or for respirators and other items, but the first purchase is for the protective equipment that is needed, and then we'll be looking at other items.
Is there still a concern, then, about enough tests or being able to perform enough tests?
Let me just say that we do need to expand our testing, but we're getting enough tests in to get a flavor for where we're going in Arkansas. Right now, whenever we started, we had primarily lined with some commercial labs, and now we have UAMS that is online, and so our testing platforms have expanded significantly in Arkansas, but very significantly the commercial labs have really stepped up nationally, and so that's a source for a significant portion of it as well. So, Dr. Smith, do you see testing as a issue going forward? Can you expand?
I think the capacity for testing across the country is greatly accelerating. There are many, many testing platforms that are bringing this on, and even point-of-care tests where people will be able to get results in less than an hour. I think we're going to see that continue to expand, and it's important that it does. We have the testing capability that we need right now to know at least where COVID-19 is in our state and where it's not. The more testing we have available to us, the better we'll be able to refine our approach. But I think that I'm seeing a lot of progress in terms of growth of testing within the commercial sector. And, of course, with UAMS coming online and us increasing our capacity, we're at least heading in the right direction there.
So what is the state's testing capacity as of right now?
Right now, we are able to do around 100, give or take, at our lab. We're bringing on a second platform, which will enable us to increase that, and we are also bringing on additional equipment to support our current lab-developed test, hopefully to get up to above 200 a day. UAMS, of course, additional equipment that will allow them higher throughput. And remember, we're continuing to get results from commercial labs. We now have more positive results from commercial labs than we do from our labs. So, again, our capacity over the last 2 weeks has greatly expanded. I don't think I've ever seen anything come up that quickly in terms of medical laboratory testing before.
And what's the turnaround time still looking like?
For us, the test that we're doing requires processing of a process that takes, you know, can take 6 to 8 hours total. We're doing three runs a day on our lab-developed platform. The additional platform that we're bringing on, though, won't require that step, and so those specimens can be pulsed much more quickly, hopefully within an hour once we're up and running.
Doctor, is there, if I may ask, is there a gap between those who are actually being tested, those who are at high risk, and those who, under better circumstances, would be tested? I guess it goes to the availability of the test themselves.
Yeah, it's very interrelated. We are trying to make sure that all those priority tests that we run in our public health lab so people get results right away. We've heard stories about people sending tests off to some, not getting results for a week or more. Some of the commercial labs that we're getting results from are having turnaround times of 2 or 3 days, which is very encouraging. Again, we're hoping that this will be more real time as we go along. We've at least received reports on almost 1,000 tests, and as you know, 218 are positive, but the majority continue to be negative.
If I could ask, Doctor, either, Doctor, from a clinician standpoint, the idea of scaling back the restrictions on commercial activity here, the Easter matter, how does that strike you?
I think different parts of the country are at different phases in this epidemic. We were one of the last states to have cases, and being a more rural state, rather as opposed to some of the more urbanized areas of our country, we can expect to have probably more of a slow ramp up and slow decline, which is actually good for us because that will mean our peak number of people who need hospitals, who need ventilators, will be lower than they would if it were in a big, big city. So when we'll be able to return to normal commercial activity in our state, maybe later than other parts of the country. It seems like for us, because we really just had our first case a couple weeks ago, that it will probably be a little longer before we're back to normal.
Easter then is still on the low side of the curve. Is that fair?
I think Easter would be early.
Supply chain question.
All right, supply chain. I like supply chain.
Yeah, are you getting reports on problems in shipping in Arkansas of food or other items for those businesses that are still in business to carry on? And would that come from your Homeland Security office? Where would that?
Well, I mean, I have anecdotal stories that I've talked to people that the price of transportation has gone up. And
The demand for it has increased, the shipment of goods, and of course there's been some limitations in overseas transportation capabilities. So the price has gone up some on the logistics and the transportation of supply, primarily looking at the protective equipment that we're seeking, but I've seen heard some anecdotal stories of that in the private sector as well. But in Arkansas, we've got a great supply chain. I mean, from Walmart to the clothing industry to agriculture, and so and we've got great truckers and transportation companies. So I don't see that as an issue except in some of our overseas shipments.
We started to see some of the IT issues with unemployment start to smooth themselves out, or are we still seeing some hiccups in that system?
Well, we've made some really important steps in terms of the emergency, the 24-hour emergency line, the call-in number. We've shipped resources there, and we're putting money in terms of the IT upgrade, but it is still a challenge for us, but it's getting better. One last question.
This, I guess, for Dr. Smith, in terms of the nursing homes, have you finished residents and employees?
We've not completed that, but we've gone a lot further, and we've not received any more positive results. Well, we have eight total staff and 35 total residents. And I think from yesterday, all of our testing there has been negative, which is great news.
And I guess what about the Clemer County Church? Have all those members and everything, have they been tested, or kind of what's the follow-up with them?
Well, we continue to look at those who have been exposed, and then of course we have, as we had with our Jefferson Regional situation, we had those who were exposed and then those who are exposed to those who turn positive. So it's a ripple effect, but we'll continue to work with them to help prevent any additional cases.
So you're saying at Briarwood there was two additional staff who tested positive, and that was yesterday, is that right?
The total is eight staff, so I believe I said six yesterday. So
thank you very much today.